With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Celebrate the warmer days with a free case of exceptional beers from our good friends at Beer 52. Simply go to www.beer52.com/spurs and cover the meagre postage cost of $5.95 to claim your free case now. I've been a member of Beer 52 for a while now and I absolutely love it. Each month they send their members a case of unique and varied beers from a different part of the world. With their ever-insightful Ferment magazine, you can learn about the breweries, regions and the wonderful world of beer while enjoying a phenomenal selection of fresh and tasty craft ales. In the last 10 years, these guys have been to 40 different countries spanning 5 continents. This includes the US, Australia, Germany, and even North Korea. They also showcase the incredible range of breweries across the UK. Northern Monk, Cloudwater, and Verdant have all featured. If dark beer is not your thing, you can choose the light only case. There's also a couple of delicious snacks to enjoy with your beer. Even if after all that you're still unsatisfied, you can simply pause or cancel at any time. That's beer52.com/spurs to claim your free case now. That's beer52.com/spurs.
If you want an e-bike that doesn't look like it's made for the shopping precinct, something that's less Mr. Bean and more Steve McQueen, check out the range of bikes from London-based Cooler King. From dope 250-watt city bikes to Harley Bobber-inspired 750-watt beasts that can tear your face off while leaving your smile intact. Cooler Kings are made in limited numbers, yet highly affordable. Check them out now on the web at cooler.bike or find them on Instagram with hashtag CoolerKingBike. Cooler.bike. E-bikes that are cool AF.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Spurs Show. Thank you so much for joining us around the world. Well, what a 24 hours it's been, the soap opera that is Tottenham Hotspur. Joining me tonight, firstly, making her debut. What a week to come on making your debut. Badminton world champion, Olympic silver medalist, and now broadcaster, Gail Evans. How are you, Gail?
I'm good. I am, I think, just trying to process the last couple of days and of what's been going on. But I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here. Oh, no, it's a pleasure to have you on. And joining us as well, the broadcaster with his own show on TalkSport, of course, Mr. Paul Hawksby. How are you, Paul?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Mike. Not too bad.
Good. Thanks for coming along. And thirdly, a man who's been on many shows as well, the screenwriter. And might I just plug... I think it came out last year and I watched it on video. When I say video, I didn't go to Blockbuster. But I watched it, you know, I watched it at home. I can still call it video. The Lost King, screenwriter of The Lost King with Steve Coogan. Wonderful film. Mr. Jeff Pope. How are you, Jeff?
I'll take that, Mike. Thank you. That's one of the most sideways, backhanded plugs, but I'll take it. Thank you.
No, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I'm on video.
Yeah. Betamax.
Poster. Yeah. Can I put that on the poster?
Please do. Please do. I honestly, anyone who can get Thank access you. To it, go and watch it. Really fantastic British film. Really, really good. Unfortunately, we can't talk about that. We're going to talk about the shit show that is Tottenham Hotspur Sunday at 10:20. Talk about trying to bury bad news when sort of 10:20 at night it's announced that, I love the thing, by mutual consent. Is that like sort of boyfriend, girlfriend? Like, well, you know, it's sort of, what do you reckon? Should we carry on?
It's the Gwyneth Paltrow, wasn't it? Chris Martin, they uncoupled, I think.
They should
do that in Football Manager terms as well.
I know, by mutual consent. That's it. Paul, I mean, we were so kind of, beginning of the season, I think most of us are really, really excited. Even up until January, I think most of us went, he's the man. And again, it's completely unraveled. What's your take on just what on earth has happened this season?
Wow, that's a long answer. I think I don't know. I mean, I was relieved when I saw the news last night. I thought there was absolutely no way back after that rant the other day. And there's been a few stories leaking out the dressing room that they were done with him. I personally felt done with him. I said on the show the day after the Milan game, that sort of meek limp out of the competition and that performance, I couldn't really see any way that he was going to rally him and get top four. I'm still pretty nervous about that. I look at the injuries. If you've seen Emerson Royals
going to
be out for 6 weeks. He won't play.
Yeah.
So we've gone from having four right wing backs to one. And one of them we gave away for nothing in Matt Doherty. So well done, everybody. Yeah. So, I think it was inevitable, and I think it's probably the right call. The biggest shock is that Stellini's still there. Anybody expected that. We all expected maybe Ryan Mason, but the idea of having his lieutenant, I don't know if it's like a cost-saving exercise, because obviously they're still on the payroll to the end of the season. I don't know, but why would you keep Stellini there? I mean, he had a couple of good results, but, you know, surely, he's going to be asked questions about Conte. How's he going to manage that? It's a fairly bizarre decision.
Yeah, Jeff, I mean, it is a weird one. Christian Stellini staying. The only one of the backroom staff is Gianluca Conte, his brother, who I think was like, going to go back to Blockbuster, video analyst. He checks the videos, makes sure they've been rewound properly at the end of the night. He's the only one that's gone, Jeff. But it is very strange. You know, maybe there was, when they do say mutual consent, maybe it really was. He's had a lot going on, personal problems. He'd had enough, the club had enough, but he maybe turned around and tried to back everyone else that were going to lose their job and went, you know what, if you want to keep my backroom staff until the end of the season, that's the least I can do. I mean, that's my only kind of take on it, Jeff. What do you reckon?
Fury, really. Fury on a number of levels is what I've been feeling. I wasn't resigned like Paul. I just thought, okay, I'm trying to unpick it. Okay, first of all, he never moved. He never committed. He never moved to the UK. His family, he's living in a hotel. His family's still in Italy. He kind of held out a limp hand to us 15 months ago. And we were always made to feel as if we were doing him a favour that he was doing us a favour by coming here. We're in the middle of the payoff for the Faustian Pact, which was the end of last season, which gave us one of the best summers we've ever had. You know, the fact that it was Arsenal that we picked was so glorious. Then I remember doing a show in the nice weather and the board were pledging 100 and 150 million or whatever. And you have to say, Richarlison has been a nightmare. I mean, partly because of injury, but that's not worked. I'm forgetting the wing back. What's the
Perisic?
Perisic has been rubbish. Not rubbish, just moderate. Rubbish isn't fair. Just average. So just the one thing I want to say about him, when I'm really trying to think about Conte, is what we loved in the early days was that passion, the way he'd go berserk and jump into the arms of his staff and everyone. We loved it. It was fantastic. The problem is we mistook that passion for a passionate team, and it was not a passionate team. Mm. The bottom line is the football was god-awful.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, no, I can't disagree with that. Yeah, let's look at, Daniel Levy, since Pochettino, he's tried two successful managers, a younger manager as well. Nothing's worked. It's completely backfired on the board. The fact that Stellini is taking over with Mason clearly says, because obviously there was Pochettino, Luis Enrique, out of work. Nagelsmann's only just been sacked, so maybe that was a push. But the fact that they are taking over for the rest of the season says there's no one lined up immediately. There's no one in place just yet. The talks will continue. It's just Groundhog Day, isn't it?
Hopefully. Yeah. And I can only speak from, from a player's point of view, I'm going to give from an athlete point of view here. The World Cup has screwed everything up. That World Cup in mid-season has really changed everything about a season and players' incentives as well. When you've got players in a World Cup, you are so focused on that for whatever, you want to play for your country, you want to be a global star. Athletes have changed. When you've got that in mid-season, it is very hard. What you need as a club is you need momentum. You need togetherness. And if you've got that breakup with the World Cup in the middle of it, you never, ever get that connection. And I think that has... And when you're a team like Spurs, we need that. We saw that with Poch.
It worked for the Woolwich down the road, though. Woolwich down the road
That's been a few years. They've been building on this. This is not something that's just happened overnight. They have been building it. And we've seen it coming. We all know it's been coming. They've started to play some really good football. Mm. Yes, we've not had that togetherness. And that World Cup as well, we've seen Son just, where the hell is Son, for instance? What's happened to him? It doesn't help with the manager changes as well. And should we really be, oh God, what's happened? We shouldn't be surprised with what we've got at the moment. With everything, the whole combination, it's just happened. And, I'm not surprised. And it's another season of here we go again.
Yeah, Paul, can you see us seriously? We're currently sitting in fourth. Obviously, Newcastle, 2 points behind us, 2 games in hand. We've got to go to Newcastle. We've got to go to Liverpool. We've got United at our place. I think we've still got to play Brighton as well. Yeah. Can you really see with everything that's gone on, the players getting together and going, we can do this for ourselves and all that? Or do you just think the season's going to peter out? And if it does, let's face it, I really wouldn't want Europa League. I know that... the money's important and to attract the players and all the stuff we hear time and time again. But I think most of us are just want the season to end now, really.
I think the problem is if we had the full squad, I think maybe the players could be galvanised with the change because they weren't happy with him. You would have got a bit of a bounce from just him not being there, the repetitive training, dragging everybody down, dragging the spirit down. But with all the injuries... with Bentancur missing, no Ben Davis for 6 weeks, no Roy. They got a pretty threadbare squad. And I think players will be looking around thinking, man, this is hard work. Mm. And I am fearful that we're going to end up in the conference plate again, we're going to end up in seventh, having to play in that energy-sapping competition on a Thursday night, the one we got booted out of last time because of COVID. Mm. But, I'd love to be more optimistic, but I just cannot see top four, no, sadly not.
Yeah. Jeff, who ultimately gets the blame for this? That, we all knew, as Paul said, we all knew what Conte brings, that it doesn't last very long. It's all about him early on. He said in press conference, we do this, we do that. The last one, it was Spurs do this. So clearly he'd kind of washed his hands. Where does the buck stop? Or do you just sort of think, it's one of those things, we tried it, you can't blame anyone, it didn't work, because there's a pattern now. Pochettino aside, one could argue, and maybe Redknapp and early Martignol, there hasn't been many, many successful managers under Enoch in over 20 years.
Yes, it's very. I'm glad you went back to Redknapp because he was fantastic for us, and we were a great team when you look back on that era. That, as far as I could tell, seemed to me a personality clash with Daniel Levy. And you feel like saying, well, get out of the way and let him manage. That's you know, and there was a project there. The other thing that you can lay at Daniel Levy's door is the failure to invest in the Champions League year. When we bought Moura in the January window, and then that following summer, I forget the exact dates, but there was a transfer window end of season where we bought nobody. In fact, we bought Moura before. Then we
bought two windows.
Two windows, you're quite right. Yeah. That was a disgrace and a disaster. And it's the losing of, I suppose you could say that Mourinho was a project because of what he'd done at Chelsea. But the problem is that he has to now go for someone who has a plan. That's why Nagelsmann is my top of my list. Yeah. Much as I love Poch, I wouldn't be downhearted if it did go to him. But I don't think Luis Enrique or Zinedine Zidane or any of those, they're elastoplasts. What we need is someone who's going to come in, make a team like Pochettino. That was Pochettino's team. That's why it did so well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We need someone who's going to be around for 5 years and has got a project. God dare say it like that mob down the road. They've backed him. I mean, I'm still never going to forget last summer. But boy, are we paying for it now?
Yeah,
I mean, I was going to say, Jeff, that if they wanted Pochettino, they could have got him now. And so you do wonder.
Yes,
I just think whenever Levy looks Pochettino in the eye, every time he sees him at the training ground, he'll see 50 odd million quid going into a shredder because that's what he's wasted in paying off managers in the three years since he sat. He's basically a symbol of failure for Daniel Levy every time. I think that will also stop him bringing him back.
The other thing with Pochettino, we believe is again, this is only going on what certain members of the press are saying, he's not Power Teacher's choice. Now, I think today was the, I didn't hear about the hearing in Italy, whether Power Teacher could continue working in world football. I haven't, nothing's come out yet.
I don't think the decision was today. It was a preliminary hearing. Sometime next month, they'll make a decision on whether that's a global ban. So it's more of the basket case nature of this club that we're asking a bloke that may be banned from world football for 18 months to find us a new manager, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I mean, he doesn't seem to be his first choice. Gail, you were nodding your head there, Nagelsmann, who we did try and get before Mourinho. I believe he took the Bayern Munich job. Nagelsmann was Nagelsmann manager of Bayern Munich when they thrashed us 8-2? Was it?
No,
that's the one who's now the manager.
Right, it was Leipzig, wasn't it? He was manager of Leipzig. I think we played Leipzig and they beat us quite easily, I believe.
I just feel that, you know, athletes, we're just big kids, right? We are big kids. So we need, you know, that's all it is. We're big kids who we don't want a parent to like put us on the naughty step when we're, you know, not being misbehaving. We need an environment where we need to be able to be creative, where we need to be us. I always say a happy athlete is the best athlete. And I say that in every single sport. We need someone who can nurture that, to get that, you know, who can take all the pressure from Levy and all the board and everything. And we need somebody, like when you keep saying the plan, we need someone that's got such an exciting, engaging plan, not someone like, say, who's going to be that parent shouting at us going, you must do this, must do that, you know, to make it boring. Mm-hmm. We need someone that's going to light a fire, because that's what we need. Being an athlete is boring. It is you wake up, you train, you eat, you sleep and repeat, and that is it. You end up being a robot. So we need someone that is just going to, it excites everything about, you know, that creativity, like why we should play for Spurs, why we're in that magnificent stadium and not producing the trophies. That's what we need. And if Nagelsmann's the one, then, you know, please let him be the one. You know, it's just someone You don't want a military style person going, which Conte seems to have been, you know, that which we just know it's just not the way we are. We need someone that we can just really show off to and bring that togetherness.
Yeah, Paul, I mean, Nagelsmann is 35. I mean, I've got shoes older than him. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, he's very young to be a 35-year-old manager of a Premier League team.
It can work.
We don't know what's happened at Bayern Munich. They're second in the league. The board have come out saying certain players haven't been developed as much. I mean, you go back to Conte. I don't think he developed any of our players.
I'll give you a little potted history on what's gone on at Bayern. He's had a fallout with Manuel Neuer, which was quite high profile. Neuer went off and went skiing and got injured and missed the rest of the season. And he then sacked the goalkeeping coach. And he happened to be Neuer's best man, one of his best friends.
Right.
And it's such a top-heavy club with all the ex-legends that work at Bayern. That's had an impact on it. Yeah, they have claimed that players haven't developed in the way they said they wanted to. I mean, when you're managing a club like that, you're always going to get those sorts of accusations. And you're right, he's an incredibly young guy. And there was a feeling that he should have taken another job before Bayern because it's been pretty meteoric. A mate of ours worked at Hoffenheim, Lutz Pfannenstiel, and he was the kind of director of recruitment at the club. And he said that Nagelsmann is just an amazing guy. He just couldn't believe. He was only in his 20s when he was there. And he did this amazing job. And then Leipzig took him on from there because of his reputation. And he did very well at Leipzig. And as we say, maybe there was another job before Bayern. Maybe it was a bit too big for him at such a young age. But he's an innovative coach. He likes to play, you know, attacking high-press football. I agree with the guys. I think if they could get Nagelsmann, he's going to want a break. I think he's quite bruised by what's gone on at Bayern. And I think that, you know, he's gettable. Apparently he has a soft spot for the club. That'll only go so far. But he's another manager that Real Madrid could want. You know, he's an elite manager. He's not going to be easy to land. It's not like Conte to an extent that, you know, he's going to feel like, you know, he's beneath, you know, we're beneath him. But by the same token, he won't be easy to land because he's you know, he's been at a top club like Bayern.
Jeff, let's be honest, though. Why, if you've got a reputation, a building reputation, an established reputation, why would you want to manage Tottenham Hotspur? If you look at, you look at the history, so we believe, of, you already mentioned, two transfer winners, nothing happened, a kind of interfering chairman. We had David Pleat on the show last week. That show's coming out Friday. Talked all about the whole director of football role. A lot of managers don't like directors of football. They want to get on with it. We haven't won anything in 20 odd years. We haven't won the league in 60 years. Why would someone elite even want the role?
I don't go there. I think it is a huge club that is semi-regularly in the Champions League and which has huge financial muscle now. And it, you know, in a way, if you go to some of these, if you took the Madrid job or took, you know, the Paris Saint-Germain job or City or something, you're more than likely going to fail. You take Tottenham on, you've got the tools, but you're more than likely going to do better, certainly than Conte. I mean, I just wanted to get this straight. He's such a little twit. Here's his quote. I'm not used to seeing this type of situation. I see a lot of selfish players and I don't see a team. Okay. Richarlison, Bissouma, Bentancur, Kulusevski, Emerson Royal, Forster, Romero, Pedro Porro and Longley. That's nine players that you signed, Conte. So... Who, you know, what is all this? He's trying to claim that he's been parachuted in and he's been given all these duds and I can't do anything with it. I've got to go. No, you're a liar. You brought these players in. You worked with them for nearly a year and a half. So if there's something going wrong, it's so bizarre that he would do this after losing. I mean, it was dispiriting, that 3-3 draw at Southampton, but... You know, nobody forced him to try and stop. Milan. Nobody forced him to set up to try and stop Milan scoring in a game where we're 1-0 down. You know, I don't understand. I just think he thought he was doing us a favour, and he's come over and he's jumped up and down the touchline and everyone's loved him. But actually, if you analyse it, it was very like Mourinho, how he played, not a lot different.
Yeah.
And I still am so confused, my football naivety. I just look back to the end of Poch and then Mourinho and think, what are we doing? Why are we playing like this? Why? I still don't understand that.
I understand it because, again, I think Daniel Levy was like, I've tried this, I've tried that. Oh, an elite manager who wins trophies. Now it's going to work. But as we've seen, it doesn't work at Tottenham. Gail, going back to sort of what you mentioned before about athletes, and, you know, I know you played individual sports, doubles, but you were part of a team and all that.
Yeah.
You know, in that thing, and, you know, what are sports when they're talking to each other? I mean, you know, they can clearly see if someone comes in, you obviously show someone respect. But surely after a while, if you don't think you'll get anything back, or you think in training is taking a pop at you a bit too much, it must go toxic pretty quickly.
Oh my gosh. Like I say, we're big kids, and you show one little bit that of you know we don't like you. I will say that you know, we have to give a lot as an athlete. You have to shed blood, sweat, and tears. Okay. You know, it is tough. Elite sport, high pressure, it is tough. So you need to know that your manager's there. They need to show that they're on your side. That's the one thing that I'll always say. A good manager is they are truly themselves. They're authentic. They can be vulnerable with you. They have rapport with you. Mm-hmm. You know they've got your back. We're suspicious. We are very, very suspicious because we know that they could cut you off anytime. Mm-hmm. They could get rid of you, or they can not select you, or that, you know, I don't like them. I don't like them. So you're very, it is that straight away you're like wary, and you have that kind of, you know, do you like me? Do I like you? Mm-hmm. And then when you build that trust, that's when it's magic. When you trust them and they trust you, that's when beautiful teams come about. That's when beautiful partnerships, beautiful sport happens. And like I say, towards the end of that Poch era, that's when I saw it. You know, it was the post-match interviews when you heard them talk about each other. Mm. You could hear it, authenticity. Yeah. And right now we have none of that. There is no authenticity. It is, you know, back to the team 3 points. Yeah, we've got to fight. You know, it's back to robotic. There's no feeling, and that's the key. And we need a manager that's going to, you know, sort of be there. Train with the guys, be there constantly, know what it's like, you know, feel the pain, feel the losses, and actually genuinely care. And that's what you get. And unfortunately, that's what we're seeing at Arsenal.
Well, let's go to a quick break. When we come back, we'll look at the runners and riders that have been discussed that seem to be on the supposed shortlist. We've also got a game next Monday away to Everton we need to talk about. Back in 1 minute.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we're back from the break. Don't forget, for premium content, including a daily news show, ex-player interviews, and original documentary series on Spurs, go to patreon.com/spursshow. Support our show in the process. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts. Next Tuesday, Theo Delaney is here with Chris Cowlin, Darren Rockman, and Hannah Barlow. And just a reminder, we had a great live show last week with David Pleat. Part one of his interview will go out this Friday, part two the following Friday on the Spurs Show feed. And I'll be with Tel Aviv Spurs on Monday night at the Spot Hostel Bar. So if you're in and around Tel Aviv, come and join us for a beer and as we lose to Everton 2-0 at Goodison Park. Paul, the runners and riders, you've mentioned Nagelsmann. The other ones, obviously, we've talked about Pochettino. De Zerbi is another one. Enrique is another one. The Aquimim, I think his name is, of Sporting Lisbon.
Yes,
the sort of, if we do the sort of Poch Mark II, a young manager with a project, we're all assuming he will go down that route. I mean, he can't get another being there, done it, elite manager, and hope he can't surely do it. I mean, I don't know who that type is. You mentioned Zidane earlier, that kind of name out there. Do you think he'll go for that kind of young, ambitious, here, I don't know what I'm doing anymore, have a three-year contract, try and build something again?
Yeah, I do. I think they've had their fingers burnt by Conte and Jose. But you could argue, why would you make the same sort of appointment with Conte? Because, you know, he was cut from the same cloth as Jose. So I do think so, yeah. I think they'll look at a different approach. That can often be a bit more complicated with a director of football. And as I said, we're going to have to see what happens with Paratici. But of the ones you mentioned, as we've all said, so we think Nagelsmann would be a great signing. De Zerbi, you've got to get out of Brighton. It's cost $20 million to get Potter out of Brighton, and they've arguably got a better manager in De Zerbi, so he wouldn't be cheap to get out of there. I think that would be difficult. Thomas Frank's been mentioned.
Yeah, Frank is one of my favourites.
He's done a good job.
I think if you look at someone. He's played, you know, he's managed in the Premier League. They've done well now. I think it's his second season, done incredibly well, playing lovely football, limited resources like he'll probably have at Tottenham. So you kind of think, you know, I love the way Brentford play football with, let's face it, players that most of us had never really heard of before.
And maybe he could entice Ivan Toney to come if we we have to sell Harry Kane, or Harry Kane wants out. That would be
that's an interesting thing, because don't you think Kane will have a huge, huge say in who comes in? This is a player that obviously we don't want to let go. Now the top all-time scorer for England as well as Tottenham. Surely he's going to be the first person we'll talk to. You know, who do you want? What might make you stay and extend your contract, Harry?
Yeah, I'd love to think so. I don't know. And I think he may just be looking at the last two. He's had two serial winners come through the door and he still hasn't won anything. So in all the cards are in his favour. You know, everything about this summer is about what Kane wants to do. You know, it's not like last time. He's only got a year left on his contract. But the other one that is interesting, I was talking to Tony Cascarino today at work, and he thinks Vincent Kompany would be, it's a man who's won recently. He's got a winning mentality. He's done an incredible job in a short space of time to transform Burnley. Yeah, I know it's a championship club, and I know they got a bit of a kick in at Sydney the other week, but it's kind of almost Arteta country. If you want to, Arsenal down where, if you want to look at them as the blueprint, having a couple of years patience with a young coach with a winning mentality and good ideas. I mean, I'm not altogether sure that Levy would go down that route, but I thought that was quite an interesting one out of left field, really.
Yeah. Jeff, I mean, any names that sort of excite you? I know you're very, very depressed and you just can't.
It's the selfishness that I can't get over. You know, he's been a manager, he's 53 years old. So he's been a manager, I would assume, for nearly 20 years. Certainly an elite level manager. And I think he's been found out. I think when he came to Chelsea, that was Mourinho's team or the previous incumbent's team. He took them. That was all about managing who's the nutcase striker they had? Who now plays for Wolves?
Diego Costa.
I think it was about managing Diego Costa, which he just about did for one season. Then it all imploded. I think if he goes to Italy, I think he can bully, you know, Italian clubs and get results. But I think he got found out here. I mean, I think what we needed was some effort from him and to come out and talk like that for such an experienced manager. He knows, everyone knew the impact of what was going to happen when he came out with that nonsense. And it was going to be that it would be impossible for him to carry on. So, and you know, he signed a statement which said, we've mutually agreed to part ways. Okay, so let's take it at face value. He engineered the way out. He couldn't even wait the last 10 games of the season. He's just dumped us. For what? And, you know, I think good luck whoever takes him on next, because that is an enormous ego.
Yeah. No, fair enough. Gail, you've mentioned Nagelsmann. You think that, I mean, anyone else you kind of think you've heard good things about?
To be honest, I haven't really been looking. I'm still in that processing stage of, I would like, whoever it is, I am pro the projects. I don't want a band-aid that's going to just last a couple of seasons, if that. I want something that I can believe in. I want something that who's going to develop our players, who is going to be, you know, like I said, you know, be there, create that team spirit, and really, I don't know, let Daniel Levy do all the stadium business stuff, and we'll just build. We've seen it can be done with Brentford. We've seen it can be done with Arsenal. So let's do it ourselves. Just stop this being Spurs, basically. I'm sick of saying we're
stop
so Spursy.
Being Spurs.
But I'm sick of, you know what I mean? But I'm sick of saying stop being Spurs. I'm sick of saying it to you. Like, you know, on every show that's going on, I'm just like, oh, here we go again. I'm sick of saying it. So let's just stop it. And he has that power to do that. So you know what? You never know. I'm gonna be the eternal optimist, and let's start from scratch. Let's start from that bottom. Let's start from basics and learn to know what Spurs is again. You know, we've lost that.
And with that squad pool that anyone comes into, and you, let's say you're Nagelsmann, you come in and it's June, whatever. Out of those players, which ones would you want to keep? Which ones would you turn around to Paratici and Levy and go, right, this is my spine, this is what I want, I see this working, and this lot, the rest, are out. Who would you put down there as you go, this is a you know, a title-chasing team, I want this lot?
Well, obviously, he's going to want to keep Kane, he's going to want a new goalkeeper, so I don't think you want to, if you're building a new team, you probably don't do that with Hugo. There are players there that are set up to play in wing-back positions. I mean, Porro's a classic example.
Yeah.
If he comes in and doesn't want to play with three at the back, you've got a £40 million player that hasn't really got a position. I mean, there's going to be a lot of that. You know, we're going from one extreme to the other. I'd like to think that he's a young enough, adaptable coach in the way that Conte wasn't adaptable. Wasn't. Exactly. He had a rigid system, and he just fitted the players into the system. I mean, I think a good coach will look at what he has as he rebuilds and put the best players in the best positions and get it right in the way that Conte didn't. You also need to blood. I mean, like, one of the other problems we've had is when players like Basuma have come in and others, they've just been undercooked because he never played them. He stuck to the same personnel and the same system every time. So these guys would come in cold. And they struggled. And you expect them to get up to pace straight away. So again, you know, you've got to work with a squad. I mean, there's so much that Conte got wrong. For a bloke with his experience and his success, I mean, it's staggeringly bad at times, his decision-making and his rigidity and everything he did.
I mean, we haven't even talked about Sheffield United, which to me was the moment when you just go, oh, Kane's on the bench, a trophy we could win. We would have got, what, Blackburn in the next round or something?
See, that's just very quickly on that. Sheffield United, that night, you've got they're basically all playing for themselves. Sonny comes and he's trying to shoot from everywhere. Richarlison's hardly played, so he's thinking, I've got to play well tonight. I've got to score goals, otherwise I'll be out of the team. Why is Conte not saying to him, you know, I'll give you two or three games. You're in. Don't worry. Just relax. Play your game. Mm. But, you know, he was trying to shoot from stupid angles. It's that desperation of players coming in and feel like they're all... I mean, look, you want hunger to play for the shirt and play for your position. But there's a balance. I just think he managed the squad so badly. And I think that night, we had enough chances in the first half to have seen that game off. So, I mean, although Conte wasn't here, he was pulling the strings from Italy. Mm. And I put a lot of that down to him that night, definitely.
Yeah. I think what you're saying is you're absolutely spot on, Paul, in that he's not as good a manager as we thought he was. He's not. Mm. He had a system. It's worked for a number of years, but people at elite level found him out, and that's why he doesn't. That's why he couldn't win with us. Because I don't, you know.
You'll always find with it with someone like, and I always think of this as a great experiment and a sign of a good manager or a good leader. Is if he'd have come in one morning, right, and said to all the players and said, right, basically the shit's hit the fan, there's no money, everything's gone to bust, right? I don't know what's going to happen. Who's going to turn up for him tomorrow, the next day, or who's going to carry on training?
Yeah.
Because they're the ones you want to keep. I say that doesn't matter what, you know, who, what position, whatever, the people that will be there when, like I say, we've talked about selfish, you know, players or desperation and everything like that, hunger. The players that turn up, if like it's a social experiment or whatever you want to call it, if you know you're a good manager, you've got the players when you do that and they still turn up.
Mm. I mean,
if it's absolutely wrong, you know, you could lie to them in the face, but who turns up for you?
Don't forget, also in the summer, we've got the return, potentially, of Ndombele, the Celso, Reguilón, Winks, Rodon, Spence. Now, some I think most fans would rightly want them back because some absolutely were not given a chance. Young players like Rodon and Spence never got a look in. But, you know, it's a slight concern that people at Ndombele and Lo Celso can come in. Who knows? I mean, you know, Lo Celso, you could argue, has never played in the position he plays for in Argentina. And, you know, Ndombele, I just think it was all in his head. But whoever comes in has got to be, I mean, again, here we go again. You know, Conte said he needed, what, 4 transfer windows to change things. He got 2 or 3. Never quite happened. Whoever comes in now, I mean, Gail's saying needs a couple of years. I mean, at least a couple of years now. And so the rumours coming out tonight that Tottenham are going to put up season tickets is absolutely laughable and just so offensive to the amount of money that us fans have been laying out to see them home and away. You know, factor in the travel. It's all very well going the actual tickets to this. You've got to factor in the travel and everything else we lay out for. I you know, I think you're right. I think it will be hopefully a young manager, and they'll finally give someone a bit of time. The fans will get behind him. They like the style of football. The football since Pochettino has been absolutely turgid. So hopefully now, that's been 4 years now, I think, since he's gone. Gail, very, very quickly, because we always ask people on their debut, why did you become a Tottenham fan? Why the hell did you do it to yourself?
I know.
Can you remember the first game you went to?
Okay, so the background is that my mum, she grew up in Arsenal territory, right? Mm. So she grew up, she could see the Highbury Stadium from her bedroom window, I think. So her 2 older brothers, massive Arsenal fans. Her dad, my granddad, huge Arsenal fan. So my mum supported Tottenham to piss them off. Right? So you can get an idea of my mum. So you went into my nan and granddad's house, and there'd be all these football trophies, and they'd be like, "Oh my God, you must be so proud of your sons." No, that was my mum. So my mum was one of the first lionesses.
Oh really?
My mum's got a great story. So 1971, FIFA held the first ever Women's World Cup, Mexico City.
Wow.
And so they said to the FA, would you like to send an England team? And the FA said, no, girls and women shouldn't be playing football.
Unbelievable.
So luckily there was a trailblazer, a fantastic man called Harry Batt at the FA. And he was like saying to the FA said, look, there are girls out there that are playing football, like my mum. Let's send a team. And the FA were like, nope, nope, nope. So basically Harry contacted FIFA, said, look, if I get a group of girls to get over, will you fund us? And they went, yeah, definitely. So my mum was one of them. She formed the Maverick Lionesses. They're called the Lost Lionesses. So my mum has played in the Azteca Stadium in Mexico City. My mum was centre forward. She scored 2 goals, right? So there are not many British people have scored in the Azteca Stadium, and in front of 85,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah, and she was 19, sacked from her job for going and everything.
Wow. I see a screenplay here, Jeff.
This is ITV1.
I see it. ITV Gold.
I know. It gets worse. Don't worry.
What a story.
When my mum came back, the FA banned her for 2 years for defying them. Harry, the guy who also it's my dog in the background, Harry Batt, who the coach of the FA, got banned for life for doing it.
Really?
So my mum never taught me football. So she, because when I was growing up, it was all this skill. I think she was in the, she was probably in the world record for Guinness World Record for keepy ups as well at one point. So when I came along, she never taught me football because she was so scarred from her experience that she never taught me. So my dad was Norwich and my mum was Spurs. And my my dad thought, ooh, I could get in here. So my first ever game was Norwich because my mum was my dad was adamant, right? You know, you're going to be Norwich, Norwich, Norwich. So my first ever match was Norwich versus Liverpool. And for a while he tried and tried, but it was just so goddamn awful going on those single carriageways, the tractors and, you know.
Oh, that A-road.
Oh, I know, exactly. Yeah, it's better now. And I was just like, oh, my God, oh, my God. Yeah. So it was only until my brother came along, my mum was started playing football again with my brother, that she started getting back into it. And so I'm kind of, I always was Spurs, but very late to going to watch Spurs because of the history of my mum and everything like that. So my mum's fault. And you know what? My dad's for being Norwich is why I am a Spurs girl.
So, that's amazing. What a great story. That cheers us up.
Why I supported Spurs story.
Yeah. Beat that, anyone. So the FA still won't acknowledge my mum either as well. So if you ever, there's some really good articles. I think The Guardian, Telegraph, even the BBC have done it. So if you Google lost lionesses, you'll see the whole story. And yeah, like I say, my mum has, played in that Azteca Stadium, scored 2 goals. Come on, mum.
Jeff's already thinking, who can he cast as your mother?
Who's going to play?
I'm just putting it down, the lost lionesses. I'm going online as soon as we finish.
Yeah.
I'm going to get Gail's number from you.
Absolutely, no problem at all. There we are. Amazing.
Did you play, Gail? I mean, obviously you were fantastic. Badminton player, but did you play footy?
No, so my mum never taught me, and then it's only recently I started playing. So I started playing five-a-side, and you know what? My mum was so happy, and I just went, "I'm sorry, right? Olympic medalist, world champion." Just like, "Yeah, but you're playing football now." And I was like, "Oh my god!" Yes, I was like, "Finally, I've got my mum's respect." You know, it's taken me this many years, but yeah, no, she plays with my boys and everything, and this is another freaky story. So I'm in Milton Keynes and my son is friends with a boy, you know, it's local primary school. He's friends with a boy called Miguel. Oh, so my dog's just burst a balloon. He's friends with a boy called Miguel, and his granddad came over, my mum and his dad, you know, came over for a sports day. And it worked out that my son's best friend's granddad watched my mum in the Azteca Stadium.
Wow.
How freaky is that?
Wow.
He was like,
one of the 85,000.
Yeah. My mum was like, "Oh, yeah, I've been to Mexico, you know, played." And he went, "I was there. I watched that."
That is incredible. That is amazing.
Wow. So, yeah, my boys love it because Nanjan is a football superstar. But my boys, I feel a bit sorry for my boys because I joke that your nan is a World Cup footballer, your mum's Olympic silver medalist. What are you going to do?
Are they Tottenham fans as well? Have you managed to
Their dad is also Tottenham. So not that was a prerequisite for being together or anything like that. It was just happened to be. And Nathan, my mixed doubles partner, is also Spurs. So,
oh, amazing.
Yeah, we've got Spurs group.
Fantastic. That's a brilliant, brilliant story. Paul, back to the mundane, sadly. Next Monday, we face Everton, who obviously, again, flirting with relegation. Sean Dyche has sort of, there's been a slight bounce there. I think they won their last game. Feels like
He's got them playing a lot better. They're a lot more organised. They've got a bit more threat about them. He's got, like, Damari Gray playing as a striker. That's a whole lot tougher than it would have been a few weeks ago. That might be a tough old game, but we're going to want to see a bit of caretaker managers bounce, aren't we? We're going to want to see them react to the fact that their mate Ryan Mason is in charge and Stellini's still there. I mean, they wouldn't have kept him on if he was unpopular. So we'll expect to see a reaction because, you know, man for man, generally, we were a better team than them. We were much higher up the table, but
yeah,
could be a bit of a test of character. I think first game away under the lights at Goodison.
Yeah, it's always a great ground to go to. I've gone up there quite a few times. It's always always a great sort of old style atmosphere. Jeff, what's your feeling about Everton? Do you think we can get something there? I mean, we've got any hope of top four. We can't afford to drop. We can't really afford to drop many other points when you look at the teams just below us. I know Man City have got Liverpool, so we all hope Man City win and do us a favour. Whatever, a few of the teams will be playing each other, but we've got to go to place that Everton win, haven't we?
I have a feeling we'll win. I think we will get a little bounce. It did make me think of when Chelsea and then Everton appointed Frank Lampard, young manager that they're going to back with a project, that it didn't work. So it doesn't always work, does it? But I think we will win there, but I've the blackest of moods, because I think I knew what when it was finally, you know, became real that Conte was leaving. I thought, okay, so Kane leaves and we're not going to finish fourth. That's my horrible gut feeling about this season.
Fair enough. Gail, give us the score prediction for Everton.
I'm going to be more optimistic than Jeff, because I can't leave it on a doom and gloom. I'm not like that. Sorry, Jeff. I think we're gonna thrush him.
You know, they'll be unshackled. Is that what's gonna happen? They'll Son and Kane routine.
Yes. Why not? Exactly. And if this is true, and we are sort of assuming a lot about the vibe in the dressing room and everyone's feeling just like, ugh. So you're right, there is that freedom. Come on, we're going to kind of show. There is going to be a selfishness about the players, and they are going to basically like, look, this is me without him. Yeah. You know, you do want to show off that. There is that kind of, remember, we've got egos here, a lot of egos. So this is what happens. The athletes are like, look, if they think I'm rubbish under him, no, this is what I can do. So I do think it's going to be a big score for us. I think Kane's going to be feeling great with the 55 goals now for England. So yeah, I think, you know, bring it on. I think we can see 3 or 4 goals with us.
3 or 4 nil.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Jeff, give us the score prediction, Everton.
I think we're going to beat them 2-1.
2-1. I'm going to go with 2-1. That's my default Tottenham result. Paul?
Well, I was going to say the same thing. I think Sonny will pop up at the end and get the winner in a tight old game. I'll go 2-1 as well.
That'd be nice. Fine, you lot. Okay, when it's 4-0, you'll all come to me.
Amazing. Jeff, anything you've got coming up you want to plug? Anything you're allowed to announce that people...
Well, there's this... just started work on this story about this woman who wanted to play football for England.
it's an early days for certain.
Thank you for the next thing. It sounds like a brilliant story. It's a 4-part drama about Cary Grant later this year.
Oh wow!
Oh, amazing. I've got to
complete this. There are two things coming up. One is a 4-part drama about Cary Grant. The other is a 4-part drama about Jimmy Savile.
Wow!
That's
a couple of unlikely bedfellows.
Wow! Is the Cary Grant, was that an American production or British production?
No, it's British, and it's called Archie because
Archibald
Archibald Leach.
That's in Bristol.
It's all to do with his childhood. He was told as a little boy that his mother had died, and it sent him into he was 10 years old, and he had a terrible childhood. Cut a long story short, he ran away, joined the circus. They went to America. He struggled and fought to become an actor. He got, he stayed alive, managed to feed himself and find a place to stay, and eventually gets a contract, becomes an actor, becomes Cary Grant, changes his name, and 30-odd years later, he gets a call from his father, your mother's still alive.
Oh,
wow.
That's it's a Dickensian twist, a true story anyway. So it's been many years in the making. Thanks for asking.
Wow, that's amazing. I've just jotted down the title to tonight's show. From Conte to Cary Grant via Mexico. Come on. It's got to be, isn't it? And Paul, how's it all going, the radio show? Still going?
Yeah, fine. Just kicking along, getting, you know, psychotic about Tottenham and trying, you know, it's just...
How difficult do you find it, Paul, when obviously you've got guests on and whatever, talking about the resurgence of Arsenal, and you've got to be kind of impartial.
Yeah.
That's pretty tough.
Well, I mean, you know, as I said, you feel partisan, but it's very... They are playing some lovely stuff, and they're doing incredibly well, and they're running it well. You have to have a grudging respect for what they've done amongst all the kind of partisan bile, don't you, really? They've done a fantastic job, and it's been quite a quick turnaround. As Jeff said, we had that lovely summer where they were humiliated when we beat them, and then... The infamous, they've still got a win at Norwich. But it's been quite, you know, it's been quite short-lived, isn't it, that joy? It doesn't feel quite as sweet now. So it's all cyclical. We should take some solace from that. It's all cyclical. It could be us. 2 years' time, we could be millionaires.
Exactly. Let's hope so. Let's hope so. Gail, have you got anything coming up you'd like to plug and let the listener know about?
Well, a bit like what we've just been talking about, I love the athlete mindset. So I do a lot of those sort of talks and psychology and about ego as well. And I do that with whether it's one-to-one business coaching or do it to talks and, you know, team building or anything like that. So what I love about sport is you can talk about the high-pressure environment and it's no different to whether you're working in sales or you're working in, you know, sort of whatever industry you are, and you have to work together and you have to kind of get over certain things and egos come into play. So that's what I do. So if anyone, you know, sort of interested in the sporting mindset and the psychology behind it and how to get the best out of yourself, I think, you know, I'm very honest with my talks and always say that I was not the most naturally talented badminton player, not the most skillful, got told over and over again that I wasn't going to make it or wasn't going to achieve. But as I've mentioned on this podcast, it's people that get you there. Mm-hmm. And if people believe in you and you've got the right support team around you and a great team, you can absolutely achieve and know your strengths and really excel. So that's what I find fascinating about sport, business, life. So yeah, if anyone wants to know more, then do get in touch.
Lovely. Well, it's nice to finish on a high. You will cheer me up, you three. Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much. Yay. We're amazing loyal supporters, aren't we?
We are. That's exactly what we are. So that's what Daniel says.
That needle be so much.
Months tattooed on our foreheads.
Yeah, I'm going to get that tattooed as well.
Yeah.
Someone actually gave me a Tottenham. He said it was a Tottenham mug, not a cup, I think. Hilarious. How funny.
Lovely. Well, look, Gail, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Pleasure.
Paul and Jeff, thank you too for coming back. As I said, Theo Delaney here next week. And until the next time, wherever you are around the world, come on, you Spurs. If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.